From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Darryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where the Celtics are up 2-1 against the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals. The team is just 2 victories away from bringing the championship trophy back to Boston for the first time in 14 years. WBUR reporter Simone Rios is here to talk with us about what this championship run means for fans and the city. Simone, what's up?
Hey, bro.
What a time to be a Celtics
Indeed.
Fan.
Indeed. I mean, hearing you say that we're just 2 wins away, it's hard to imagine. I went to the first game of this season, their new head coach, Ime Udoka's first game, and they got blown away in that game 1 by the Toronto Raptors. So that did not seem like a good start to the season.
Right.
But somehow they turned it around in the second half of the season to become arguably the best team in basketball. And there had never been another turnaround by a sub-500 team, so a team that lost more than it won, going into the second half of the season until this year. So that just goes to show how significant the turnaround was. I keep thinking of that kid down the Cape who literally got a tattoo of the Celtics' 18th banner on his arm happening this year. So I'm not that confident, Darryl, but I am hopeful.
You know, fans with these tattoos are wild. I'm thinking of the Sixers fan who got Ben Simmons tattooed on him, and that did not work out well at all.
That one hurts, man. That one hurts.
But so here we are. The Celtics haven't won a championship since 2008. What kind of moves have they made since then to get here?
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing to watch this team grow since Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum were drafted in 2016 and 2017. So just going back, All-Star Gordon Hayward came to town and he literally broke his ankle. I mean, a devastating injury on the first game of the season. That didn't end up working out. Kyrie Irving came to town. That didn't work out. He left for Brooklyn, as you probably remember quite publicly. But the good news there was it basically put the team under the command of the 2 young stars, the Jays, Jaylen and Jason. Plus, of course, Marcus Smart, who was just awarded Defensive Player of the Year. When I watch, though, I see so much depth on this team. There's no dead weight. And even when the top guys, Tatum, Brown, have a bad night, someone else is going to step up and put the Celtics in the running. So on the other side, I haven't watched the Warriors as closely, but I just don't see that kind of depth coming out of that team. So I will say the Warriors were the top offense in basketball this season, and they have 3 championships under their belts, and they have Steph Curry. So I'd be a fool to count them out.
Right. And, you know, part of that depth you talk of comes from Al Horford, who is from the Dominican Republic. And I had no idea he could be the first who came from that country to win an NBA championship.
Bro, this guy, Al Horford, is shaping up to be a legend. So just some background about Al. Coming out of Florida State, he was drafted 3rd pick in 2007 by the Atlanta Hawks. He played 9 seasons there before signing with the Celtics in 2016. He played more than 900 regular season games and over 140 playoff games before getting to an NBA Finals. So that set a record right there. No player in NBA history had played more playoff games before getting to the Finals. He's also got a strong Boston connection. When he was here as an Atlanta Hawk, Big Papi David Ortiz welcomed his Dominican brother to the city at a Red Sox game.
Love that.
And ever since then, Horford has felt a connection to Boston. He gave an interview in Spanish just the other day where he mentioned his connection to the Dominican community here, especially up in Lawrence, where I guess he's a frequent presence at the restaurants.
I love that. I love that. Especially like, you know, Big Papi showing love to him. I love hearing that. I love it.
Yeah.
So does this team have any other historic standouts in this series?
Well, for one, the Warriors have the first Mexican-American player to ever make an NBA final. That's Juan Toscano Anderson. So especially for California fans and the huge Mexican population there, that's a big point of pride. And go figure, we have a huge Dominican population here. So it's like we got a representation angle going on in these NBA finals. And I'll also say it's the first time that anybody on this Celtics team has made it to the NBA Finals. So definitely some firsts going on.
Let's talk about the fans real quick. Do you have any favorite reactions from them so far?
Yeah, I went down to the pro shop at TD Garden to talk to people who were gearing up, you know, buying the posters and the hats and the jerseys. And I met this guy, Angel Calderon from Roslindale. He's Puerto Rican, but his wife is Dominican. And well, let's listen to what he has to say.
But yeah, in the Dominican community, it's, you know, it's an amazing thing, you know. It's a huge deal. You know, he had the most playoff appearance without a finals appearance. So, you know, well deserved.
So when he was talking to me, Angel went on to publicly ask his wife for a birthday present of Celtics tickets on air. And I actually played that cut. And guess what? She actually came through.
What?
He texted me with a picture from the game Wednesday night. He said she got two tickets for $600 from a colleague. And they probably could have resold those for $2,000 at least. But it's working out well for our friend Angel Calderon.
Wow, that's love right there. This
indeed.
I imagine this is a big help for local businesses who made it through pandemic shutdowns. Did you talk to any of them?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, it's like, you know, you have the regular season, all the businesses that depend on the Celtics or whatever team kind of rely on the business associated with that, the games, the ticket sales, restaurants, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then as they make it into the playoffs, it's like that's just like a bonus round for all these companies. So the Celtics have just been advancing and advancing. They've won three series so far. Now it's the NBA Finals, game four tonight in Boston. So take the ticket resellers. They're making a profit on each ticket they sell. Mm-hmm. And none of those tickets would have even existed if the team wasn't doing so well. And, you know, you got to keep in mind that these businesses, a lot of them were just devastated by the pandemic, like complete shutdown, because there were no games happening, no tickets, no nothing for more than a year. So no doubt this added income is welcome by these businesses.
Mm. Now, as expected with games like this, ticket prices are through the roof, from $800 for balcony seats to $20,000 for courtside. For the fans and the husbands and wives who are trying to get tickets for their partners, you know, at TD Garden, what should they look out for to avoid getting scammed?
Man, ticket prices are through the roof, and it reminds me how much money there is in this city when the average ticket price in a 16,000-seat arena is nearly $2,000. You do the math on that one. But as far as getting tickets right now, for those of us who don't have season tickets or who don't have tickets to tonight's game, the people who know say be careful with scalpers and paper tickets generally. So tickets are digital now. And if you use your credit card, the credit card company is going to back you up if your transaction goes wrong. If you pay cash and you get screwed, that's on you.
Be careful out there, y'all. So right now, the Celtics are up. What are you looking for in tonight's game?
I'm looking for a win, Daryl. I don't know about you.
Okay.
Defense, offense, the whole nine.
Okay.
But more specifically, I've seen the Celtics struggle a lot to win two in a row. I mean, they swept the Nets in the first round, but then against the Bucks and the Miami Heat, they couldn't win two in a row. They would look awesome. Everybody would think they were going to go on to sweep the rest of the series. Then they'd kind of wither in the next game. So I'm hoping to see them win two in a row here. I think they can do it. They just have to have that mental toughness to keep it all together.
Right on. So, Simone, you're a lifelong Bostonian and a devoted Celtics fan, as we can all hear. How are you going to celebrate if the Celtics go all the way?
Guilty as charged. I've been a fan since I was a little kid, and Larry Bird and Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale were bringing home championships. I'm still waiting for a Celtics squad that's going to return the team to those heights. Oof. Some think this might be it. We'll see. But I got to say, like, just covering these things as somebody who's not a sports reporter, getting to have these conversations like we are right now is a huge privilege for me. And I'll say lastly, I'm envisioning myself right now covering the victory parade downtown.
Okay.
But I don't want to jinx this team anymore, so I won't say anything else on that.
Well, you know, as a Sixers fan, you know, my team got kicked out the series early on, you know, but with that, I'm happy for Boston. I'm happy for you, happy for all the fans and the team, and I'm wishing you all the best of luck.
Thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm. That's WBUR reporter Simone Rios. before we go, here's what else is going on. Worcester is kicking off celebrations for its 300th anniversary tonight. Back in 1722, only 200 people lived in Worcester. Today, about that many volunteers are responsible for organizing its big birthday bash. Kate McAvoy is the event's co-chair. She calls the celebration a labor of love that she hopes will create lasting memories for all who attend.
This will be the biggest amalgam of celebrations that the city will have together, and we're just hoping that it will be that impactful to people of all ages.
Highlights over the weekend include fireworks, a parade, and a performance by the Boston Pops. Meanwhile, the Boston City Council is considering using eminent domain to take a parcel of land that would provide public access to a park and pond in Hyde Park. It would be used for recreation and conservation and honor the historical importance of the spot for both indigenous and Black communities in the area. But the land is currently owned by a Black resident. The owner, Garnett Brown, says he planned to build a home on that land and that the city had approved every step in that plan. Until now.
I'm a descendant of African-American slaves and Native Americans. Rather than commemorating the 54th Regiment, taking our land undermines the legacy by using our heritage against us.
The 54th Regiment was the first Black regiment in the North in the Civil War. The members had used the area as a training camp. And get ready for detours between East Boston and downtown this summer. The Sumner Tunnel will close tonight and stay that way all weekend and many weekends to come for construction. On the bright side, this first phase of the $157 million project to improve the 87-year-old tunnel is a step toward modernization. But in the meantime, drivers trying to get from downtown Boston to Logan Airport are going to have to look for an alternative route. And that's all for today. Now, we've made it to Friday, y'all. Take it easy and enjoy your weekends. And to all the Celtics fans out there getting ready for Game 4 tonight, have fun and be careful. From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you in a bit. Hey. You're a podcast listener, obviously. Would you like this show, along with all of WBUR's best news stories of the day about Boston and the region, all in a podcast feed? I suggest you search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe. You'll be able to find just a local segment of Consider This, plus our best coverage in business, tech, politics, education, and the arts, all in one place. Search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe.